Thank you for joining us. And now we want to talk to you about our God-centered concept discipleship series that we have been promoting for a very long time on this show. Here is the book, Victory in Seven by T.S. Wright, the God-centered concept discipleship series that teaches you what real discipleship looks like. This first book will simply get into the foundational process. Make sure you go to Amazon.com and order your copy right now.
Welcome to the show that combines biblical truth, discipleship, and the calling of spreading revival. Now your host, T.S. Wright.
Welcome, everyone, to the Kingdom Crossroads. And I'm your host, T.S. Wright. And I am so glad you could join us today. If you haven't already, hit that follow, subscribe button. Give us a like, as you know, that helps us to continue to bring that content that you've grown to love and that we feel so blessed to be able to share with you. Well, today I have back the same, one of those same familiar voices that you guys have grown to love. And I know that because we always get lots of downloads every time she's on the show. And so Battle Cry Moms is back. All right. Yes. And she's got an amazing message for us today. So, you know what? Sit back, relax. If you're driving, just turn that volume up a little bit and just let the next 20 minutes really soak into you. So, Deborah McNich, Battle Cry Mom, welcome back to the show.
Hello. Thank you so much. I love being on this show. I look forward to it every month. And so I know that God is moving and I know he's speaking, because if he's speaking to me, I know he's speaking to everybody. So he's moving and it's time we just all just jump in and hear what he has to say.
Amen. Amen. So, well, Deborah, hey, we know your story. We know the Battle Cry Moms. Why don't you just go ahead and dive right into the lesson that you have for us today? And you know that just God opening our doors, leading us, taking us in the directions that he wants us to go. I know you want to speak about some of these type of things. So floor is yours. Yes. Take it away.
Perfect. Well, yes, you guys all know my story about my prodigal and my parenting journey. And a lot of people ask me a lot of the time, you know, how did you start this ministry? How did, you know, you're so brave, you're so whatever. And I just always have to say, no, I'm really not. I spent a lot of years in a bed crying and too embarrassed to come out. And, you know, as I told you before we went on, sometimes I have to get my book out that I wrote. Sometimes I have to read my own book and remind myself of my why and remind myself that God is calling me, but not just me. He's calling all of us into doing great and mighty things for the kingdom of God in this hour. And that's kind of where I'm at right now today. And if this is the message on my heart, I know it's going to be the message on somebody else's heart. So I just wanted to go over a couple of just things that God is teaching me. And I think they're going to speak to you also. And so first, you know, in my story, like I said, I was scared and I was hiding for a long time, afraid to speak up. What would people think about me? What would they think about my child? Would they hate me? Would they hate him? You know, all of these things. Would they think I was a horrible parent? Would they think I was a horrible Christian? What? I always worried about what were people thinking? And that was a big shame thing that I had, that I had to get over. And, you know, one night it all changed one night, several years in, when I was at a Bible study. And I loved these women and I still love these women, but this particular night, the direction of the conversation drifted to LGBTQ issues. And they had not up to this time known what my story was, because I didn't share it with anybody. And so what had followed was some comments and some things that people said about specific LGBTQ stuff. And I remember I ran to the bathroom and just started crying, because I was like, Lord, how am I ever going to, you know, I'm not trying to convince people of anything. How am I ever going to share my heart and just share your love for all of your children? And how can we get past this ugliness in all of our hearts that we just come out and just start saying things, not knowing who's sitting beside you struggling in this area? And so that was a turning moment for me at this Bible study. I knew right then and there, God was saying, enough hiding. You have to come out and start talking about this. And so for me in my ministry, it was about my journey and it was about parenting. But for you, maybe it's something else. God has put a story on your heart. He has put something in you that he wants you to share with the rest of the world. I always say discipleship is something we like to get caught up on, but it's pretty simple. Discipleship is literally telling somebody else something that God told you. And so that is all it is sharing what God is doing in your life and what his word says with other people. And that's what we have to get back to doing. And, you know, I started reading all these great Bible stories like Esther, you know, when she had this choice to make, you know, that she had to go before the king and it was going to be life or death for her people. And she had a choice though. She could have said, no, I'm not doing it. And I love it when the word says, if you keep silent. And so God already had a plan. He knew he was going to send somebody to save the people. And it could have been Esther or it could have been someone else. And she had that choice to be used by God and to say, whatever it takes, Lord, I am yours, use me, or to go away and die with the rest of the people. And that was a moment in my life as well. I had to decide that, you know, it, just like you said, if you keep silent. And so the Lord was telling me, if I keep silent, who's going to talk about these hard things? Who's going to be the voice that stands up and says, you know what, parenting is hard. It is not easy. And, you know, God still loves you, even if your children have went a different way. And who's going to teach them how to pray and encourage them to keep praying and to not give up? If I wasn't going to do it, who was going to do it? And I knew it was a moment in my life that God was saying, it's now, it's time to do this. And I think that's what he's saying to everybody that's listening to this about something. He's saying, what is it? You know, what are you going to do? Are you going to stay silent? You know, and just stay behind your computer reading all the social media posts, but never standing up for the truth. What are you going to do when your coworkers are talking about things, you know, that are completely off? Are you going to stand up and be the light? You know, he is calling all of us in this hour to rise up and to speak the word of God and to speak it boldly and in truth. You know, and it says in Jeremiah 12, I love reading the Old Testament. I talk about that all the time. All my good stuff comes from the Old Testament because that's where the people were broken. That's where the messed up people lived. And that's the ones God used all the time. And that's me. I'm the messed up person. And so, you know, in Jeremiah 12, I love the heading of the chapter. It says Jeremiah's complaint. And he goes on and he's just crying out to God and just telling him all of these things about, you know, why he can't do this. And do you see what those people are doing? And I've been good all these years and look at all these people. And finally, God has enough. And I like to picture God just like rolling his eyes, putting his hand up, going, okay, that's enough. You need to be quiet now. I'm going to talk. And when it was time for God to talk, he said, if you have raced with men on foot and they have worn you out, how can you compete with horses? If you stumble in safe country, how will you manage in the thickets by the Jordan? And I knew right then and there, as I read that verse and as I read it right now, he's just reminding us that, you know, if we can't be brave, if we can't speak the word of God to our friends at a coffee shop or at a Bible study sitting across the table from you, how is he going to ever use you for bigger things? I think all of us are very guilty of praying, oh Lord, put me on a stage, give me a book, you know, give me a big ministry, you know, and he's saying right here, you're not going to make it. The opposition that will come against you, you don't know the squeezing and the pressing that's going to happen if you're on the stage and people are looking at you. And if you can't handle one-on-one to talk about the truth and the things you're going through, then you're never going to make it on a bigger stage. And so I think for me, that was time. It was just God saying, it's time. It's time to stand up and it's time to tell your story and it's time to walk into what God has called you to do. And that's what he's telling each of us right now. Everybody has a story and stories matter. And I can't say enough about how much stories matter. And as I said before, I love the Old Testament. I love Judges. That's the best book. I think Judges is one of my favorite books. And if you go down to the third chapter, I think we're three judges in. There's a great story. And it says that there was this guy named Shamgar. And I'm going to turn to that right now because I am all about Shamgar and what he is and why he's important. So the other day in my mom's group, I asked him, you know, if I could drop you into one Bible story, to eat lunch with one person, where would you go? You know, if you had 1 hour that you could just drop in and just face-to-face talk to somebody, where'd you go? And of course, you know, we pick the big people, the Davids and the Joshuas and the Moses and all of these big people we would like to sit and talk to. But I am kind of all about the little guy. And I think one of the first people I would see be like, I need to talk to Shamgar. And why is he important? Because it says, and Judges 3:31, it says, after Ehud came Shamgar, son of Anath, who struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad. He too saved Israel. He got one line. He got one line in the Old Testament about what he did, but we can learn so much from that one line. A couple of things we can learn from Shamgar. One, his willingness. He said yes. He said yes. God called him and he said yes. And so whatever you're doing in your story right now, you have to say yes. Tell God today that you're willing to do whatever it is he's asking you to do. You have to be willing and say yes. The second thing I would like to talk about is he used what God gave him. It says that he struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad. An ox goad was a common farming tool. It wasn't anything special. He didn't have to go buy anything. He didn't have to do anything like that. He just used what God gave him. And he knew how to use it. And so what is it in your life that you know how to use, that you know how to do? Do you know how to use social media? Then maybe God's calling you to do something there. Do you know how to talk to people? Maybe he's calling you to go speak to some groups. You know, are you a crafter? Can you make things? Maybe he's asking you to spread the love of Jesus through that. I don't know what it is, but everybody has a skill and everybody has something that God can use in this hour to accomplish what he wants to accomplish on this earth. The third thing is he stayed true to who he was. You know, he didn't say, I'm going to have to get back to you because I need to go to ministry school. I need to go to seminary. I need to read the Bible 4 times through. I need to pray, you know, 45 more hours. You know, he didn't do any of those things. He stayed true to who he was. He knew who he was, who God made him to be, and that is how he lived his life for the Lord. And because of that, he too saved Israel. So his yes had a kingdom impact. He saved his nation. And so today, whatever it is God is asking you to do, you got to do it. You've got to do it. You got to use your willingness. You got to use what God gave you. You got to stay true to who you are and say yes. Your yes will have a kingdom impact. And so the one thing I want to read to you is something I wrote in my book. And this is what I want every single person to think about the rest of this year. If God was going to put one line in the Bible for you about what you did, what would it say? I want you to take that line of Shamgar, and I want you to put your name in there, and I want you to think what it is that you would like God to say that you did. And for me, this is what I wrote. Then came Deborah, daughter of Thelma. She prayed with all that was in her, and she believed the prodigals would come home. She used her voice to offer hope, lead a movement, and help win our children back. She helped save a generation of spiritual wanderers by believing God could and would save them. Amen. And so whatever it is God is calling you to do today, that is just the message that has been on my heart. And again, he's been talking to me, and I know if he's talking to me, he's talking to somebody else. And we are here at the end of the year, and it's time to look into what's coming, 2026, what is coming in this new year that God is asking you to do that you can step out and do.
Amen. Amen. So, you know, it kind of also reminds me like the prayer of Jabez. Some of
100%.
Some of these interesting stories that are in the Bible, and you're like, you know, it would be interesting just to know like some of the backstory of whatever that was, because they have like, you know, 1, 2, 3 verses max, and you're like,
that's so it.
How did that get to that point? You know what?
Right, but God included it.
He did. He obviously included it for a reason. Mm-hmm. I would love to know the backstory of what happened to get there, and then what happens afterwards, like. For instance, the book of Jonah, we're left on a cliffhanger
It is.
And we never get to know the rest of the story. No. The guys basically crawl up in a ball. Like a,
And just, then let's go to the next book. We got to hear the rest.
Like a little kid, all 100%. You know, just whining and crying. And then he just leaves right there. It's over. It's like, whoa. I've actually, as far as Old Testament people, I don't know why Daniel is the guy I would always want to go visit with.
He's good.
Daniel is kind of my guy. And I don't know why. And I read a lot about Moses and Daniel, and then Joseph. But something about Daniel. I don't know what it is about Daniel. So,
It was his yes. He was faced with all of these problems, and he could have just said, I'm just going to fit right in. I'm just going to, you know, do whatever he wants me to do to get through. But he said, nope, I'm made for more.
Amen. Amen. And he was faithful to God no matter what. No matter what. I find that fascinating. So, Deborah, obviously, with your prayer network that you run now, you know, it's kind of interesting because most people are thinking, hey, you got a 1,600 person prayer network. You've got all this stuff going. But it didn't start like that. No. You know, it started with that biblical one-liner. It started just with that moment, you know, that burning bush moment, so to speak.
Right.
Or that Abraham moment where you just hear the calling and that's it. And so take us back to that moment of calling. Just the moment of calling, and you've alluded to some of it before, but kind of that moment of calling, and then what was your first step?
You know, I would flash Claire back to the dream I had 20 years ago when I saw myself writing a book and standing on a stage talking about it. It was a dream that I had one night, and I wasn't a dreamer. That was new to me. These prophetic dreams I started having about 20 years ago, that wasn't my upbringing. I had no bandwidth to understand what that meant, but I started kind of having these dreams, and I had dreamt that I had written a book and I was standing on a stage talking about it. And so I carried that information with me for about 20 years. And I would go places over the years and people would say to me, hey, God told me to tell you, you're going to write a book, and just crazy stuff like that. And so I always knew that God had a message in my heart, but I have all the reasons why I couldn't do something like that. One, I'm not a speaker. I wasn't a writer. I'm a little shy. I'm outgoing, but I don't need to be on the stage. I would rather clean the church bathrooms. You know, I never craved that stage and that spotlight. And so when this all went down with my child, my very first thing, actually, one of the very first things that I thought after that phone call ended that day was, you kidding me? I think that's probably how I said it. Are you serious, Clark? You know, I like to say that a lot. That was kind of like Christmas vacation. I knew. Yeah. You know, I knew right then and there. I'm all hyped up. It's getting to be the holidays. I got to hype up on my Christian vacation quotes already. But I knew right then and there, God was calling me to talk about hard things. And I said, no. My first response is like, are you kidding me? This could not possibly be what you have for me. And so I knew at the very beginning, but I kept pushing that back because I couldn't get to a place of being able to articulate the longing and the cry of my heart. And I knew it. I knew I was learning it in a biblical manner, but I wanted to make sure before I started speaking that I was biblically based and I could answer all the hard questions people might have. So it took, you know, we're talking 4 years after the phone call and me knowing that, yes, God is calling me to write and to speak about this before I said yes. And I still, as I said yes, I'm like a little turtle. Sometimes I stick my head out and then I'd bring it back in real quick. And then I'd stick my head out and I'd bring it back in real quick. And I still do that, you know, step by step. Every time something new comes along, I start going, I can't do that. I can't do that, Lord. I can't do that. You know, I couldn't possibly do this. And every time God is just like, keep your eyes on me. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. You know, I've got it. And you're going to get through this. And so I finally had to just get to the point. I was going to talk about it. I wrote about it and I was going to have to start talking about it. And, you know, I just said, even if I spoke wrong, even if I said the wrong grammar, even if, you know, I cried the whole time, you know, whatever it was, I was going to do it. And I was going to honor the Lord through his word and through his love and just share about the hope and the joy that I had in him. It's scary though. I still get very nervous, not to speak, not so much like I'm nervous to do that. I'm nervous to share just like what God is speaking, because I know it goes against what culture is saying and what the world is saying. And I'm kind of a people pleaser. And so when God started telling me I was going to talk about things, one of my very first things I said to him was, you know, that's going to make people mad. Are you sure? Because I like people to like me. I don't want people to not like me. And it was very hard at the beginning. I remember he said specifically, you will get unfriended. And I was like, what are you talking about? People will say things to you, you know? And so I don't think God ever, you know, led me to believe it was going to be all unicorns and rainbows. From the beginning, he said, yeah, it's going to be hard. But just like in Jeremiah, he's like, if you can't do this little thing, talking to people face to face, you know, you're never going to do greater things. And so you have to get over this and trust me in these small things. And this movement is going to go places, not because of you, because you, I could use anybody, but I chose you and I'm going to use you in your story. And we're going to take those ashes of your pain and we're going to make something beautiful out of them.
Amen.
But he's not a respecter of persons. If he does it for me, he will do it for you.
That's right. Amen. Amen. You know, so much of when I tell people, when you read the Word of God, and we talk about and I talk about this in our books, the Bible is really the authorship and the signature over God's creation. It's his authority over it.
Right.
And as you read the Word of God, he's revealing himself to you, his character. Mm-hmm. So how he interacts with the people that you're reading about, that's how he interacts. He's going to interact with you. He's giving you a clue as to how this is going to work. So, you know, believe him when he says who he is, because that is what he is. What you read in the Word of God, that's who he is. And so you can't change the words. It's not for you to change. It's for you to abide in his word.
That's the key.
And so, you know, you got on talking about fixing the eyes and all that good stuff. You know, our third standard of discipleship is fixing the eyes. And so we have four standards that we teach by, spoken like a true teacher, right? So writing curriculum and all that stuff. So, but we have to have our eyes fixed on Jesus. That is the key to staying on your walk, because you're going to... If you get caught up in the circumstances of everything going on, it's just going to be like a bouncing back and forth. I mean, it's going to feel like a roller coaster ride. You're going to feel like a pinball is what you're going to feel like in an old pinball machine.
Right.
So,
and absolutely.
I don't want to live the pinball effect.
Right.
Okay.
Right. You know, and this is a holiday week. I don't know when this will air, but we're getting ready to get into the holidays. We're going into Thanksgiving. We're coming up on Christmas. And these are times that are hard for a lot of people, specifically people that have broken families. And it's hard. It's easy to take my gaze off of my Savior and start looking to the world and be like, well, she got all her kids home. Well, she got to go here to see all her grandkids. Oh, she got to do this. You know, it's easy to start looking at all these other situations and go, God, why do you hate me? Why did I do wrong? You know, start going all over that shame and that guilt trip again. But God is inviting you right now in this week just to put your eyes on him, to keep your gaze on the Savior. Don't look at your circumstances, because those are going to change. You have the option to stay on the boat and have smooth sailing with Jesus if you keep your eyes on him, or you can go ahead and, you know, ride the waves. But I wouldn't want to ride the waves. I would want that smooth sailing. And, you know, that doesn't mean it's going to be hard. That doesn't mean there's not going to be tears. You know, that's why I think it says in Psalms, you know, that he collects your tears in his bottle, because he knows you're going to have them. He knows there's going to be tears, but he's inviting you into peace. And he's inviting you into fellowship, and you don't have to be out there, you know, in the wandering and the hurting. You can choose to stay in the peace and comfort of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. You know, one thing too, I would say, and I always kind of preface this, is that any time that we get focused on God's movement and what he's trying to lead us to do, it always starts with prayer and his word, and then knowing that his prayer and his word are going to be your solid foundation, and in the circumstances of how each step maneuvers and the craziness that comes around with all of that, where mm-hmm. you're bouncing back and forth and all that, that's not going to affect you if prayer and his word are your foundation. Because a prayer and word mm-hmm. of foundation, his spirit will lead you, and he'll take you through all of those pieces. So we don't, yeah, those shifting sands of circumstances, we don't want those right. to throw us off course. And I've seen so many people get thrown off course, which is why in the discipleship plan that, you know, we've written, that I've written here to put out there, is that teaching somebody how to share their faith. Guys, I can sit here on one episode. I mean, no offense, I can teach a rhesus monkey to share their faith. Okay.
Right.
I mean, it's not hard. It really isn't. Right. I'm not making light of that. I'm just saying it's not that difficult. What is difficult is all the stuff, and you alluded to this earlier, it's all the other stuff that's going to come. And it's you being able to be steadfast and walking with Christ in the Lord. That is what's going to keep you solid. Okay. You got to have that peace. I would say that 75 to 80% of discipleship is being able to be trained so that you don't get thrown off course when you do put yourself mm-hmm. out there. Remember,
Amen.
Paul trained for a length of time. We think it was about 3 years
right.
before he started full-time ministry. So, you know, and I tell people right now, if you've received Christ, the first thing you need to do is get discipled. And
right.
you need to walk through discipleship. Then you need to start. Then from there, you start your ministry. Okay. Be discipled first, so you are prepared
right.
for exactly what Deborah said. When it starts pressing in, when you start getting pulled and things start happening.
And you will. Like,
oh yeah. It's going to happen. You're going to get attacked.
You just, will.
Yeah. Don't, yeah. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of yeah. when.
And, right.
And he will attack you at your weakest points. Always remember that. And guess Amen. What? Deborah got attacked at her weakest point, and she turned it in to her power, to the power right. of God is really what she did. She
right.
turned it over to the power of God. And now look at the ministry that's there as a result. So Deborah, tell that's people right. now how they can get connected, what they can do, and all that good stuff as far as, you know, being able to get attached to your prayer network and all those good things.
Yeah, I am just so thankful that people can connect. But before I tell you, it's something that I was thinking about when you were talking is sure. a quote I heard a long time ago, and it was, disciples will stay, converts will run. And so just be thinking about that. You know, we get a lot of people saying yes to God, but when we don't disciple them, you know, when hard things start coming, they're running away because this isn't what they signed up for. They signed up for the unicorns and the rainbows. And so, yeah. you know, you have to have the discipleship because disciples will stay because it'll go deeper. It's like a layer of glue. Every time you read a verse and you study something and you learn something, it's like you're being glued down. You're being glued down every time. And so the more yeah. glue you put underneath you, you're not going to fall off. You're not going to run away because you're glued down. And so I was just thinking about that as you were talking, but if you are a mom or dad and you're thinking, gosh, the holidays are coming and I am all alone and I don't know what to do, connect with me. You can go to my website, www.deborahmcninch.com. And from there, you can link Battle Cry Moms and Battle Cry Dads. Those are the sites that we have for parents that can go and connect with other people going through the exact same thing you are with your family. And so if you have any kind of prodigal, whether it's LGBTQ, maybe it's alcohol, maybe it's estrangement, that's kind of the key word of the hour right now is the estrangement that's going on. If you're going through hard things, do a hard thing today and tell somebody. Tell somebody, go to your pastor, tell them, tell your friends, speak up and bring this darkness into the light. And let's see what God says about it and connect with other people that can walk through this with you.
Amen. Amen. So I will put all this in the show notes. I'll make sure you can get connected with her, buy her book, all those good things. So, but anyway, we've got to wrap up here before we hit that magic 30 mark. So on behalf of myself and Deborah, I just want to say what I always say, and that is, now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin. Thank you for joining today's show. And you've been hearing us give shout outs to different communities that are big supporters of the show. And we want to say, encourage people in your area, as we want to be able to give out more shout outs. But also, because over our goal is over the next 24 months, we want to go to as many locations as possible, whether it's coming to a church or to a community, to be able to share our discipleship program with you and be able to bring people on the podcast, to do live episodes, as well as to teach people discipleship as it is intended for it to be taught, and to help you spread the gospel in your area and be able to learn how to be discipled yourself and disciple others through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our programs are designed to do that. We have books being published as we speak. We've got our entire discipleship series that we already do in person in the location that we're at now, but we'll also be bringing it online as well. So continue to listen to the show and encourage the people around you to get on the show. And we would love to be able to come and visit your area and let us know that you are being impacted by this show in a positive way, and being able to, it's helping you to be able to find a way to share with other people the gospel. We are all about spreading the gospel and helping to spark a great harvest. Thank you so much for tuning into our show. We appreciate you being supporters of our community, and we so look forward to being able to come and visit you. God bless every one of you.